We do believe that governments can do a lot to help move their systems closer towards universal coverage. Where we would urge for a bit of caution is that it is not the case that just any type of health insurance scheme would be a step towards universal coverage. They do need to be carefully designed, because if they're poorly designed, then schemes can actually worsen inequalities in access and financial protection.
What are some of the things that governments can do to ensure that their people are covered?
The first and maybe the most obvious thing government can do is actually provide funding for the system. And there's really two main ways of doing that. Historically, most governments have funded the supply side. They have funded services, they pay salaries, they provide medicines, they fund the health facilities. What has been more of an innovation has been a growth in public financing of what might be called the demand side. In other words, rather than governments just transferring budgets to health facilities, we see in some examples governments actually transferring general budget revenues to an agency, which might be called an insurance fund, which purchases services on behalf of the population. Probably one of the more well-known examples of this in recent years is in Thailand and what's called their universal coverage scheme.
Is that effective? Is that scheme effective?
Yes. There's been just recently an independent assessment of the 10 years of experience they've had with that. And it's shown that actually utilization, particularly for the poor, has increased. The incidence of people actually incurring what we call catastrophic expenditures that cause severe financial consequences for families, that has reduced. There's one issue, which is this other lesson about insurance schemes that needs to be thought about, which is that in Thailand, as in many developing countries, there was an approach to insurance that, well, first we'll start with the part of the population that's easiest to cover, which is civil servants and those in the formal sector. And those were in the first schemes. But what happened was, rather than coverage gradually expanding to the rest of the population, so the people in those schemes were both higher income and better able to organize and lobby for subsidies and so forth. So you had a problem of real inequalities created by starting schemes for those parts of the population first.
You are saying that this covers those people who are already better off, who are employed by the government.
One of the issues which might be thought of about insurance is that, as I said, governments in all countries provide some direct funding to health facilities. This has long been the case. This itself is a type of insurance. I used to be the advisor on health financing for the European region of WHO, and I would always make the case that just because it's called insurance in Germany and it's called a national health service in Britain doesn't make German citizens more insured than British citizens.
Right.
The issue is how well they achieve their objectives. What I think is interesting in the Thai scheme and in a number of developments that have taken place in recent years is that governments are recognizing that where most of the population is not in the formal sector of the economy, it's very difficult to have kind of traditional contributory health insurance. But they also found that there's an alternative to simply sending budgets to health facilities. In all of those cases, the governments are subsidizing partially or fully the purchase of health services on behalf of the people outside of the salaried employment. This is a real innovation.
Does this innovation work?
It has worked. I mean, again, the Thai case has shown this to work. We have in Rwanda also the evidence showing that through a combination of community-based contributory schemes with a lot of government subsidy as well and donor funds, but all being used in a complementary way, that this has shown some increases in access to care as well. The difficulty in that situation is that it's very hard to sustain contributions from individuals.
Why is it difficult?
Some of it is theoretical, but basically some of it is what we observe and experience. And if you look around the world, there's no country that has gotten to what we would call universal population coverage based on voluntary contributions. And the main reason is that in general, there'll always be in any society some people who are either too poor or else too sick to be able to contribute what is needed for their own care. And what you find is that some people who would know ahead of time that they have some type of condition and that if they're only charged a small amount, they'll definitely enroll. But there'll be people, usually the young and the healthy, for whom it almost isn't worth it to contribute if they had to do it voluntarily. But the whole point of insurance is to cross-subsidize from the young and the healthy to the older and the sick and those who need more services. So in a way, it has to be compulsory for this to work.